A Chag Atzmaut Sameach to everyone. Even though it's Yom Ha'atzmaut, I'm happy for one thing. And we're going to get back to this later. But the Gemara does say that one has to bless God for the sad events, just like one does for the happy events. It's very easy to say thank you, God, for this, that, and the other thing. It's more difficult to thank God for things that you'd rather not have. And even harder to bless God at a funeral. However, I always like to say that within every negative, there is a positive. So we're in the middle of a terrible epidemic, and unfortunately, people are still very sick and dying. And at the same time, because of the lockdown that we're all in here in Israel, we're able to learn Torah on Yom Ha'atzma'ut, something we usually don't do in this kollel. So I'm happy that at least from one negative, which is very negative, came this positive. And we'll get back to that a bit later. I just sent a source sheet to everyone. I hope you received it. And we're going to go through it because of the following reason. As everybody knows, at this time of the year, it's actually rather interesting to see how the entire state of Israel is worried about one thing, and that is, of course, our health. And while we're all worried about our health, I have to be honest with everyone, it's rather strange to me at least that though we're all worried about our health and we should thank people that help us, sometimes it doesn't happen. So first of all, let's take a step back and ask, do we have an obligation to say thank you? Is there a Jewish obligation to say thank you? Or perhaps there isn't. How can we explain there isn't a Jewish obligation to say thank you? Well, quite frankly, I have an obligation to help you, whether I like you or not. As everybody knows, you have to help someone with a heavy load, whether he's your friend or not. And therefore, if you would have asked me, well, that being the case, maybe I don't have an obligation to thank you, because you're just doing what God said. God said to thank people, and you're thanking people. Excuse me, God said to help people, and you're helping people. That being the case, maybe there is no obligation to say thank you. However, if you look on the top of the source sheet, you'll see that lahalacha, that's not the case. The Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amun Aleph, that Hallel was instituted by the Nevi'im. And then the Gemara says the following words, that the Nevi'im made an enactment, and obviously the sages accepted it, Shiyu Omrin Oto, Al Kol Perek V'Perek V'Al Kol Tzara V'Tzara, Shelo Tavo Aleihen. Dahainu, a Jew is obligated to say thank you to God via the Hallel, when something good happens, and that is, Ukesheni Galin, Omrimoto Agulatan, when they're redeemed, they should say thank you to God for their redemption. I just heard Dr. Daniel at his tip end quoting the Chatam Sofer in the next source sheet, in the next source, that says in Yoredeya, Bet Reish Lamed Gimel, and everybody knows that the Chatam Sofer was not exactly an innovator, to say the least. The Chatam Sofer, as everybody knows, finished every single speech with the following slogan. Does everybody know it?
Nothing new under the sun.
What?
Nothing new.
Chadash asur min haTorah. Not that there's nothing new, but to be more precise, if it's new, you can't do it. So the same Chatam Sofer that said, if it's new, you can't do it, is the same gentleman who said that celebrating what God has done to us as a nation or as individuals is not new, it's old. It's as old as those Nevi'im that we just quoted. Says the Chatam Sofer, the Kviat Yom Moed, B'Yom Asiyat Nes, Hu Kal V'Chomer de Oraisa. Saying thank you to God for a miracle is a Kal V'Chomer. Namely, since we say Hallel on Pesach, for just going from servitude to freedom, says the Gemara in Megillah, all the more so when you're actually saved and redeemed totally. Namely, not just from servitude to freedom, but from life to death, and many other examples. I don't have to go into the various miracles that happened because of what transpired 72 years ago on this day. And says the Chatam Sofer, if you barbecue on Yom Ha'atzma'ut, if you wear a white shirt, if you like to eat the cupcakes with that blue icing that probably will kill you, then that's of course...
Your voice is fading.
Fading.
Fading. Okay, we'll say it again. Do you hear me now?
Yes.
So that's the Chatam Sofer. If indeed, on Yom Ha'atzma'ut, you wear a white shirt, you wear a blue tie, you eat cupcakes with blue and white icing, that may be the Rabbanan and downwards. Namely, it could very well be, it's not even a custom. However, having an actual day to celebrate the miracle of a nes, of a miracle that happened to the Jewish people, that's the Oraisa, as Dr. Daniel said. And therefore, if that is the case, then what we do today, saying thank you, God, in any which way you do, is the Oraisa. What you do may be the Rabbanan minus. However, the very fact that there's a day in which you celebrate a miracle is a kiyum d'oraisa. And then the Chasam Sofer goes on to say, and not only is it a fulfillment biblically, but rather, if you don't do anything, then you're mevatel mitzvot aseh. There's an obligation to say thank you to God, and you didn't do it. Very much like there's an obligation to eat matzah on the Seder night. If you don't do it, you're mevatel a mitzvot aseh. There's an obligation to wear tefillin. If you don't do it, it's a bitul mitzvot aseh. So therefore, we see from the Gemara in Psachim that when the Jewish people are redeemed from anything, they have to say Hallel. And the Chasam Sofer goes on to say this is not a new thing, but an old thing. Since the time of the Nevi'im, of the prophets, when something amazing happens to the Jewish people, we have an obligation to say thank you. And what we do on that day could very well be the Oraisa. So, even though you would have maybe told me, listen, there's obligations to thank to go ahead and help a fellow Jew, maybe I don't have to say thank you. God told them to do it. You know, you're at a restaurant, a waiter comes up to you, you don't have to say thank you to the waiter, he's getting paid. Comes along the Gemara and says, no, there's an actual obligation to say thank you. So, after we establish it's an obligation to say thank you, we have a very interesting question to deal with. Is indeed Yom Ha'atzma'ut a day in which we should say thank you? Because what's the general problem with Yom Ha'atzma'ut? If I have to now sum up the debates between the Zionists and the non-Zionists, those that wear white shirts today and those that don't, those that said Hallel this morning, those that said Hallel with a bracha, without a bracha, those that do not, if we have to go ahead and sum it all up in one sentence, what would we say? What's the debate? What's the machlokes? Harold, I didn't hear you. Unmute yourself so you can answer.
You can't create a new holiday.
We just established you don't have to create a holiday. Forget about the word holiday. You're creating, you're saying thank you to God. So those that say you don't have to say thank you today, forget about the word holiday. What are they claiming? Anyone? What are they claiming? God gave a Jewish state. Any Jew can come and live in the Jewish state, which is in the Jewish homeland. You can go ahead and come here. You can live here. You can be defended and secure by Jewish security forces. So why wouldn't they say thank you to God on this day?
Mashiach isn't here yet.
Ah, said Harold, Mashiach isn't here yet.
It's not a Jewish run state. Not a halachic state.
It's not a halachic state. Mashiach is not here. Let's sum it up in one sentence. Anyone want to sum it up? You know, when you hear a very sophisticated shiur, you know that the shiur is solid if the person giving the shiur can sum it up in one sentence and you go home and you say it to your wife and the person sitting next to you in the shiur also said it. Namely, it was clear. If everybody goes home and says something else, then the speaker, due respect, was fablungent. He was totally confused and he has no idea what he said. But if everyone says the same thing when they go home, then you know it's solid. So, in one sentence, what is the debate between those that celebrate this day and those that do not?
They don't believe it's God-given.
It's don't believe it's God-given, says Dr. Daniel. Could be. But, you know, what can we do? God-given or not, here we are 72 years later. We're living here and we're functioning here. It seems like perhaps God was behind it, or at least as much as Purim. If I have to sum it up in one sentence, I would say as follows. that you have to say thank you for something that's imperfect, not perfect. I don't think anyone on this particular Zoom would come along and say the state of Israel is the manifestation of all our dreams. It is an amazing entity, perfect. After all, the state of Israel is so amazing that we never had a prime minister go to jail, or a president go to jail, or a chief rabbi go to jail. It's perfect. All the politicians never say Lashon Hara. Everyone gets along with one another. Due respect, Israel is indeed an amazing thing, but perfect it is not. So even though we established there's an obligation to go ahead and say thank you, and the Chasam Sofer said it's not new but old, maybe you only say thank you on things that are perfect, not on things that are imperfect. Yes, Harold.
When was Israel ever perfect? Even in the time of the Malachim, we had problems.
So Harold said, due respect, perfection doesn't exist today and didn't exist then. Namely, let's go through the celebrations of Jewish holidays. Is Pesach perfect? You know, Pesach, not bad. We got out from servitude to freedom. Let me ask you all a question. What happened a few days later?
It depends what you're celebrating. It really depends, because Pesach was celebrating the creation of the Jewish Am.
Arthur, Pesach celebrates the creation of the Jewish Am, and Pesach celebrates going from servitude to freedom, and Pesach is the first stage towards getting the Torah. Pesach is many things, but is it perfect? Was the Jewish people coming out of Mitzrayim saying, this is great, nothing can stop us, thank you God, exclamation point, period, let's move on. What happened a few days later?
What God did in that case, it was clear that God brought us out. In our case, some would say, we don't know what God wants. It's not so clear. We're being led by people far from Torah. How can it be what God wants?
Bruce, before you get into what's happening today, we're still at Pesach. With due respect to everything that we had on Pesach, what happened a few days after Pesach? The Jewish people did what they know how to do best. Complain. And what did they say to God via Moshe? They didn't say, oh my gosh, the Egyptians are coming. I hope God will save us. What did they say? God, why did you take us out in the first place? We didn't need it. No, thank you. Not thank you. No, thank you. That's considered a perfect redemption. 3-4 days later, they're saying to God, forget it. Not a good idea. No, thank you. Who asked you to take us out of Egypt? We told you not to. Well, God did the miracle, seventh day of Pesach, parting of the Sea of Reeds, the Jewish people saying Az Yashir, and Miriam added the women's beautiful, beautiful Shira as well, and the Jewish people will say, okay, maybe the first day of Pesach, there's matzah on the Seder plate, but there's also maror. We opened the door for Eliyahu, and yet we have to say, God, pour your wrath over all those that don't yet recognize you. But by the seventh day of Pesach, perfect. And therefore we celebrate Pesach. Gentlemen, what happened right after the parting of the Sea of Reeds? We even read it for those that were in a minyan on the seventh day of Pesach. If you would have asked me, I would have said, Chazal should have said you should read the Shira. In other words, B'shalach till after Miriam's song. Stop there. Everyone should go home with their head held high. Where do we continue the laning till on the seventh day of Pesach? You know, it's like the good Jewish lady that when everything is wonderful, she sits down and she complains about something that isn't. You know, the table's set, Shabbos is made, everything's perfect, Shabbat Shalom. Ay, I got a headache. No, gentlemen, we finished Shira Tayam. Egyptians, bye-bye. Jewish people, victorious. 3 days later, not 3 months later. 3 days later, what happened? The Jewish people, says Dr. Daniel, began to complain. They complained about water. They complained about the lack of food. So, even though the seventh day of Pesach, beautiful, wonderful, they complained anyway. Now we could say, you know what, Pesach was the first step. We're counting Sfirat HaOmer. by Shavuos. Shavuos was the redemption. We got the Torah. We have security of God. We're not in servitude anymore. There's no more Egyptians. Perfect. Gentlemen, what happened 2 weeks after Shavuos? 2 weeks! Let me ask you all a question. If you were in Judaism 101 and you didn't listen too well to the class, in other words, you were probably playing with your phone most of the time, but, you know, here and there something got into your ears. So you would think that amongst the things you heard would have been that there's three cardinal sins that you don't pass. Gilui Arayot, Shvichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah. You think, like, you would have somehow or another remembered that? I would say so. Well, 2 weeks after Mamad Har Sinai, the Jewish people didn't yet learn all the Rishonim and the Achronim on the Sugya. But Avodah Zarah, do you think for a moment that, whoops, we forgot this was forbidden? An Egel Azav, 40 days, Moshe goes up, down, 2 weeks later. So even Mamad Har Sinai wasn't perfect. So you can go on and say, okay, fine. Pesach wasn't perfect. The seventh day of Pesach wasn't perfect. Mamad Har Sinai wasn't perfect. But Sukkis, Zman Simchateinu, we're happy. We're so happy because now it's perfect. What don't we have no servitude, no Egyptians. We have a Torah. Egel Azav finished. God forgave us. We even got the Yud Gimel Midot. Perfect. Gentlemen, whether the Sukkah is to remember the Anane HaKavod that secured us in the desert, or whether it's this to remember the sukkahs we sat in, what happened during those 40 years in the desert? I just gave the answer. Why was it 40 years and not a few months? Maybe a year or two. Do you know, Harold, there's an obligation in the Torah to remember that we made God mad in the desert? Do you know there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Zachor et Asher Asalach HaMalek? There's also a mitzvah of Zachor et Asher Ktsavta Hashem Elokecha Bamidbar. Not just remember what Amalek did to you. Remember how you got God upset and mad and angry in the desert. First of all, the Meraglim caused us to be there for 38 more years. Secondly, during those 38 more years, do I have to go into details as to how imperfect it was? So Harold's saying, wait a minute, I didn't know that. It says Zachor and it says Zachor. So how come on the Shabbos before Purim, we make a big announcement, everyone has to listen and have Kavanah, we're going to have a second reading and a third reading. And those that don't know, one of the miracles of Israel is there's Jewish intermarriages, correct? Intermarriage is not a good thing, but in Israel there's Jewish intermarriage. Or to be more precise, inter-ethnic marriages. Sfaradim get married to Ashkenazim. People that back in the old country would never meet, in Israel, Baruch Hashem, they get married. So you go into a typical shul, they read Parshat Zachor in Ashkenazis, in Sfaradit, then in Eidot HaMizrach, maybe even Teimani, we make a big deal. Zachor et Asher Asalach HaAmalek. Let me ask you all a question. When was the last time you heard on Parshat Ki Tisa, when we read about the Chet HaEgel, the rabbi get up and say, ladies and gentlemen, there's an obligation from the Torah to remember how we got God upset in the desert. Everyone have Kavanah. We're going to read it 25 times. Anyone ever remember such an announcement? Anyone? No one. Well, gentlemen, I also don't remember such a thing. You know who asked this question? The Taz or the Magen Avraham, one of the two, on the Shulchan Aruch say, how can we make a big deal out of Shabbat Zachor? And not about remembering how we got up, God upset. And his answer is beautiful. Because remembering what Amalek did to us, that's okay. The terrible non-Jews tried to kill us. But remembering what we did? No, that's not nice. That's not so convenient, comfortable to remember. So we do it, but we don't make a big deal about it because it's a busha to the Jewish people. Is that not a good answer? You know, when you talk about bad things, do it quietly. Or as we like to say in America, when you have nothing nice to say, say it in Yiddish so the person doesn't understand. Am I correct? So gentlemen, None of the Yomim Tovim are perfect from beginning to end. And as a matter of fact, when we say Hallel on Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos, the Hallel itself says, thank you God for what you gave us. Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov, Ki LeOlam Chasdo, Ze Hayom Asa Hashem Nagila BeNismechavo. And what do we say a second later? Mina Meitza Karatika, Ana Hashem Oshiyana. Just like we say thank you for what we have, we plead to God for what we lack, because on all the Yomim Tovim, we're not there yet. Pesach we celebrated, albeit there was no Korban Pesach. Sukkot we celebrate, albeit without the three Korbanos we're supposed to bring when we go to the Beis HaMikdash and fulfill the obligation to be there three times a year. So there is no such thing as a perfect holiday in the lore of Judaism. But after I said that whole drasha, you can look at me and say, very nice, Rabbi, maybe, you know, due respect, the good outweighs the bad. Is there such an example halachically where you can prove it to me, Rabbi, that indeed you say thank you, even though it's not perfect? So let's see. Next source on the page. The Shulchan Aruch says, Im ayu b'tzar michamat atzirat kshamim, v'yardu kshamim, mivrachim alehem af palpi shelo yardu adayin kedei reviyah. So we all know there could be a drought in the land of Israel. And if there's a drought, we have to pray for rain. And if rain doesn't come, we should fast. Says the Gemara, Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, when it begins to rain heavily, after a drought, you come and you say thank you to God, and you say the prayer in which it says, Modim anachnu lefanecha, we thank you God, akol tipa v'tipa, on every drop of rain. Let me ask you all a question. When it just started to rain, you know, a little bit, and it's heavy, did we make up all the missing water in the Kinneret? Is it perfect? Of course not. Tomorrow can be a sunny day. The Kinneret is still at minus. And yet we thank God for what we have, even though it's not perfect. Example number one. Example number two. The worst thing, the most tragic event in the history of a Jew and of a human being is a death. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if your father dies, you say Dayan HaEmet. Everybody knows that. Says the Shulchan Aruch, what happens if your father dies and you inherit a very big bank account? What are you supposed to do?
Make two brachas.
Yes, Bruce. What are the two brachas? So you say maybe. Look in the source sheet. You don't have to say maybe. Shulchan Aruch Paskins. If indeed a person's father dies, Diana Emmet, but Hayalo Mamon Sheyerasho, Im Ein Lo Achim Mevarech Kam Kim Shechiano, V'im Yesh Lo Achim Bim Kom Shechiano Mevarech Atov Ametiv. I'm sorry, part of the military, didn't hear? Okay, I heard something in the background. To make a long story short, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you have a tragic event, you're in the middle of a tragedy, as a matter of fact, you're an oning, you're not even supposed to make brachot. There's two brachot you can make. Dayan HaEmet at the funeral, that we usually do today. In other words, once upon a time it was done when you heard the bad event, today it's done at the funeral. And number two, if you inherit an inheritance, the minute you say Dayan HaEmet, the most tragic bracha, Shechianu. Thank you, God, I'm alive and well to take the inheritance of my father. And if you have a bunch of brothers and sisters and family that's going to enjoy the money, Hatova Ametiv. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in the name of the Tshuva Sarashba, that even though it's in the middle of a tragedy, V'afti yotera yamit ratzeh, shelo yamut avi v'lo yirashenu. A person would have rather that their father be alive rather than he be dead and they take his money. Even though that might be the case, I'd rather have a father alive than his money, says the Tshuva Sarashba quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, Mikol makom, yachol avarech shechianu, de ein bracha zo tluya besimcha, ela bedavar shemegia lo toelet mimeno, ve'afal pisha mitarevi matzar v'anacha. Says the Mishnah Berurah, even if there's a bit of tragedy or a lot of tragedy, even if there's bad news together with the good news, you thank God for what He gave you, and you plead for what you don't have yet. A Dayan HaEmet with a Sheikh Chiyono, within seconds of each other, just like in the Hallel, within seconds of each other. Zehayom asa Hashem nagilo v'nismechavau, and ana Hashem hoshiyana. 1 second we're saying, this is the day, we're so happy, and the next moment, God save us. So as you can see, not only is there an obligation to say thank you, there's an obligation to say thank you when things are not perfect. And we prove from two different sources, the bracha we make when there finally is rain after a drought, and the bracha of Shechianu or Atova HaMeitiv, if you inherit an inheritance when your father died, you say thank you even when things are not perfect. So, obligation to say thank you, and obligation to say it even when things are not perfect. So, no one on this Zoom would say the state of Israel is perfect, but quite frankly, even if it's not, we have to say thank you for what we have. Note, that being the case, you could say, all right, listen, you should say thank you. I'll say it in some way or another. But quite frankly, let's say I didn't say thank you. Is it so bad? Like, you know, eating chametz on Pesach, that's terrible. Not wearing tefillin in the morning, bitul mitzvah zaseh. How bad is it not to say thank you? You know, 1 to 10, how bad do you think it is? I forgot to say thank you. It's like the little kid in the house that didn't say please. All right, not bad, a good kid. Forgot to say please. I don't think it's the end of the world. Well, let's see. Let's see what the punishment is. Says the Psukim in Shmot, when Moshe Rabbeinu first came to Paro and said, let my people go, which he then repeated endless times, what did Paro say back? Who's saying I should let them go? Moshe answered, God. What did Paro say? Lo yadati et Hashem, v'gam et Yisrael lo ashaleach. I don't recognize God. Says the Medrash. Paro, do respect. Who are you trying to trick over here? You don't know God. A few years ago, in the history books that you learned in the Egyptian school that you were in, right before they let you out to recess, they told you there was a terrible and utter drought, and not only a drought, drought of food, and there's one person that saved us. Who was it? Who saved the Jew? Who saved the Egyptians from the drought?
Yosef.
Yosef, every time he spoke about God. So Paro, do respect. You don't remember? You didn't learn about it? Says the Medrash, and I quote, Hayom asher lo yada et Yosef, lemacharu atid lomar, lo yadati et Hashem. Oh, very nice. Just like you forgot Yosef, you forgot God. So you don't say thank you to your mommy who gives you a bowl of cereal, and you don't say thank you to the waiter. Well, today you didn't say thank you to a human being. Says the Medrash, domino effect, by tomorrow, you won't say thank you to God. To God, you won't say Be'ezrat Hashem. And as a matter of fact, there is an amazing, amazing Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. That if the Gemara didn't say it, then this Brooklyn accent for sure wouldn't say it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, bottom of the source sheet. First page, says as follows. B'kedosh kodosh baruch hu la'asot chizkiyah mashiach v'tzancheriv gog u'magog. So God has a plan. The plan is that he's going to bring Mashiach after a big war. So there was a big war against Chizkiyahu. The Ashurim, the Assyrians came and encircled the old city. So God said, all right, let's make that the Gog u'Magog, and let's make Chizkiyahu the Melech HaMashiach. That was God's plan. Who stopped him? Who stopped him? Take a look. Says the Gemara, Amar midat adin lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ribono shel olam. Ma David melech Yisrael shamar kama shirot v'tishpachot lefanecha lo asito Mashiach Chizkiyah she'asito lo kol hanisim halalu v'lo amar shira lefanecha ta'aseu Mashiach? Dear God, you don't remember David HaMelech used to say thank you, Tehillim today, Tehillim tomorrow, Tehillim on Tuesday? That was, you know, David HaMelech. And you didn't make him Mashiach. You just went ahead and saved Chizkiah from the Assyrians, from Ashur. And Chizkiah didn't say thank you. Not Tehillim, not a whole book of Tehillim, nothing. Now let me ask you all a question. Chizkiah was a very, very good king. He was a big Yirei Shamayim. I don't know about you, but they never said about me in one of the 24 books of Tanakh that I'm a great guy. They talk about Yehoshua bin Nun, but they don't talk about this Yehoshua. But Chizkiah, in Melachim Bet, it says he was an amazing king. An amazing king, a Yirei Shamayim. He actually was a big outreacher. He made a whole revolution spiritually in the Jewish people. Gentlemen, why didn't Chizkiah remember to say thank you? I would like to suggest that Chizkiyahu came and said, God, maybe you saved me today from Ashur, but due respect, you already told me through the prophets that you're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And perhaps Ashur is out of my life today, but the Babylonians are just behind them in a few years. So why should I say thank you? When things are perfect, I'll say thank you. Very much like a good Jewish boy or girl comes home from third grade, fourth grade, and says, Mom, Dad, look at my report card. And the mom or the dad takes the report card and say, no big deal, it's only fourth grade. When you graduate from college, I'll say Mazel Tov. Or a Jewish boy or girl wakes up in the morning and says, it's my birthday, I'm 5, I'm 6, I'm 7 years old. And the mother and the father said, do respect, when you're 13 or 12, we'll celebrate. Now, it's just 5 or 6. Is that the Jewish way? Says the Gemara, Chizkiyahu missed his chance to become Mashiach because he didn't say thank you for what he has. He only went ahead and thought about what he lacked and said, why should I say thank you for something imperfect? Comes the Gemara and says, that's why you lost your chance to be Mashiach. So no one believes that Israel is perfect. No one. From the biggest Zionist to the smallest Zionists. From those that shave on Yom HaAtzma'ut and take haircuts, to those that say absolutely not. Those that say halal with a bracha, to those that say absolutely not. No one in that group would say Israel is perfect. However, as imperfect as it is, we have an obligation to say thank you for what we have. And obviously yearn and work and daven and aspire for what we lack. And therefore, I find it very disturbing to read yesterday a small little article that I didn't put on the source sheet because I'm still hoping it's false. But if it's true, it is an absolute anti-Jewish statement. Not more and not less than rabbis who said it. And what am I speaking about? Everyone's looking at me, so what is he talking about? There was a small article in the Arutz 7 website that said as follows. Right before Pesach, as you know, Bnei Brak was put in a lockdown. And Bnei Brak was put in a lockdown, and because of that, many people couldn't go out and buy groceries. So the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, who usually take care of us from enemies, mobilized, went into Bnei Brak, packed and delivered packages of groceries to the many residents of Bnei Brak. If you would have told me, what's the job description of the IDF, I would never have guessed, deliver groceries. And believe me, I like groceries because I'm overweight. So groceries is not something I'm against. But I didn't think the IDF should do it. So the IDF, being in Bnei Brak, they didn't just want to deliver groceries before Pesach. That's raw. That's like giving someone meat and potatoes on a plate, but without garnishing it. So they wanted to put a little garnish on it. What garnish did they put on it? Anyone know? Or am I the only one that read this article and got upset? Anyone? No one read it? Okay. I quote now from Arutz 7's webpage. Everybody ready? You all sitting down? In Bnei Brak they complained that they put a little bracha in the care package. What was the bracha? I quote. It said on top of the page, Tzahal and on the other side, an Israeli flag. And in the middle it said, Ish et re'eu yahazoru le'achiv yomar chazak. Anybody want to translate? Anyone want to translate? Ish et re'eu yahazoru le'achiv yomar chazak. I translate. A Jew helps a fellow Jew. And then it said, Chag Sameach v'kasher, have a happy and kosher holiday, be'ahava mitzvah ganai Yisrael, with love from the IDF. Anyone have a problem with it? Well, certain elements in B'nai Brak called the chief of staff and said, please stop putting that little card into the care packages. Now, why, in God's name, would he say stop? So when I originally read it, I said, oh, I know why. He's machmir. He's afraid they're going to throw it out, and it's a pasuk from Tanakh. They don't put it in Geniza. But then I said, wait, Geniza is only for God's seven names. It can't be that. Why do you think there was an element that said to the chief of staff, stop putting those little pieces of paper into the care packages? Because, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it, I'm going to say what I think, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope the whole article is wrong, as a matter of fact. But the way I see it, this is why it was done. Give me a second here. It's because, if God forbid, a pasuk and a beautiful holiday greeting would be said in this particular B'nai Brak, it would ruin their assumptions about the IDF. The IDF, according to many, is terrible, awful. They want to enlist good Jewish soldiers and make them into terrible Jews. And if God forbid, there's going to be a piece of paper that quotes a pasuk and a Chag Kasher V'Sameach from Tzahal, it's going to ruin our assumptions. I do hope that a whole article is false. It never happened. But unfortunately, if it's published, I believe there's probably an element of truth in it. And if there is, it's an anti-Jewish statement. You say thank you, even if Tzal is not perfect. Someone did you a favor, you say thank you.
I'm sure it's the same thing as if we get care packages from a Christian organization. Not to make the comparison, but that's how they would view it. And you don't want to acknowledge that that's who you accepted it from. So they look at that the exact same way.
So Bruce,
a relationship with an organization they don't want to believe in.
Bruce, what you're basically saying is that certain elements in B'nai Brak wanted to say to the people of B'nai Brak, do me a favor, don't mix us up with the facts. We want to say that the army's anti-Jewish, anti-religion. Here they go and quote a pasuk and a chag sameach v'kasher. Oh, if they find out that the army does that, it's going to ruin our assumption, which is false. So let's continue the feulishtick of keep the lie alive. If that's the case, it's even more worse than I said. I said it didn't say thank you. You're saying it's a lie, and don't bother me with the facts. Let's leave the lie in place. That being the case, I find it anti-Jewish. Not to the first power, not to the second power, but to the 15th power. The most anti-Jewish thing I've seen in a while. But I hope it's false. And let me end with the following note. Everyone has their Yom HaAtzma'ut pasuk. I have the following pasuk from Amos. And this morning I saw it on Facebook from one of our graduates, Uri Melamed. He said, you know, Yom HaAtzma'ut for different people are different things. Some enjoy seeing the fireworks. Some enjoy going ahead and making a barbecue. Some enjoy going to the park, whatever it might be. You know what Yom HaAtzma'ut is for me, he said? He quoted Psukim from Amos, and with this I conclude. Hinei yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem. Days are going to come. V'nigash choresh ba'kotzer. When a plowman shall meet the reaper. And people will be able to garden and to take their fruits in. And says Amos, v'shafti yitshvut ami Yisrael, uvanu arim neshamot. Once again, the Jewish people will come back to their homeland and build homes and live here normally. V'loi nachu od mi'alat matam, and hopefully they'll never be deported from their land. I don't know what Yom HaAtzma'ut is for you and how happy you are. But I have no doubt you have to say thank you for what we have, because reading the Tanakh, you see many of the prophecies come alive today in Israel. Not all, but many. And we have to say thank you for what we have, even though we still lack. And I hope that just like we say thank you with a proper capital T, we'll be able to, God willing, also say thank you for the many things that we lack, until such time that we can say a hallel in which we will say Zehayom Asah Hashem without Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Wishing everyone a very happy Yom HaAtzmaut, and don't forget to say thank you to God in any which way you believe. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Rishon. Chag Sameach.
Okay, we're waiting on just a moment for...